because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So we have a picture here of Jesus. It was just before the Passover, not quite a week before the Passover, coming to Bethany, and it looks like maybe he was invited this time to come in for a meal. It says in verse 2, there they made him a supper. What do we see Martha doing? Let's look at Martha first. What do we see Martha doing? Serving. John or Luke chapter 10, I believe, is where Martha served and Mary was busy. Or Martha was busy and Mary was with Jesus. And she was kind of reprimanded, wasn't she? I think it was a different time. But three of the Gospels, maybe even four, talk about this specific setting. And I didn't see in any of those where Martha was rebuked for this. She served. How am I serving today? Am I serving? Am I just wanting to be served? Martha served. She had a ripple effect, didn't she? As she served, there were others that benefited from her serving. They ate. So it wasn't just her serving and it stopped there, but it went out. Now I want us to think about all these different things that we're going to talk, the different people we're going to talk about this evening, and try to place that within us, where we are. We're here tonight. We call this council meeting. We're here in preparation for communion. We're here to kind of, maybe I should say, let God dig deep and see where we're at in our walk. So let's look at these with that in mind. Let's go to the next one. That's Lazarus. Lazarus had died. We know the story well. Jesus came and raised him from the dead. What's Lazarus doing? What do you see there? What's he doing?
He's sitting at the table with Jesus.
He's sitting at the table with Jesus. I'd like to be him. Do we sit at the table with Jesus? Are we feeding next to him? I know we're making some things out of this that kind of adds a little bit to here, but I like the picture that we get of Lazarus here. He is beside Jesus, taking time to be in his presence. Just, can we say, just basking in the fact that he's sitting with Jesus. Do I desire to be in his presence? And when I am in his presence, what happens when I leave? Am I receiving something? Or am I in his presence and that's where it's left? Let's go on to Mary. Mary was also doing something. I don't know Mary's financial situation. None of us do. How did Mary get a hold of this expensive ointment of spikenard? If you do the research, it would have been about a year's wages that this bottle of ointment cost. Now, I'm not here tonight to sell you essential oils. My wife enjoys, as our family does, essential oils. We have a tiny bottle that's extremely expensive, but it doesn't even come close to this. This is a year's wages, is what history would tell us. So what does Mary do with that? Why doesn't she take this oil, this ointment, and go sell it? According to history, it did not. How this ointment was made wasn't from this area. It had to be brought in from somewhere else. So it wasn't just something they could easily latch on to. Why didn't Mary take this and sell it? She could probably use a new camel. Who knows what she needed? Let's see what Mary did with this ointment. She took it, and according to some of the other Gospels, she poured it on his head and on his feet. And then she took her hair and she wiped it with her hair. Mary was worshiping. Jesus said a little later, he said, she's preparing me for burial. What was Mary's ripple effect? Let's begin with right in the house. This ointment, it says, went through the whole house. Verse 3, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So that was the ripple effect right there. Did the ripple effect from Mary's life go any further than that? Do we have scripture to prove that it did? Trying to see if I could lay my eyes on it. It was actually in one of the other Gospels. It talks about, I thought I had that here and I'm not seeing it. Anyhow, the ripple effect that Mary had, it talks about wherever the gospel is shared, this is going to be shared about Mary. That ripple effect is still going today. What she did and how many times that it shared. So now I ask the question for each one of us personally here. Mary had the opportunity to take that oil and sell it and put it into the First National Bank of Bethany. She didn't. She put it into, can we say, the First National Bank of Heaven. She invested. These were financial blessings she had that she used to bless her Savior. Now, can I ask us a very simple question? What are we doing with the financial blessings that we have? Is it just to get something else? I need more? Want more? Are we using those to bless others? Sometimes we hear of those that, and I say those, pointing at myself, we take the financial blessings God has given them and we're using them for good, for personal gain. I wonder sometimes maybe if those are not financial blessings, but maybe financial cursings, the way we use it to our shame. Mary was faithful. Would she have not done this, she would have missed honoring Jesus. She would have missed the worship that happened. But she didn't. She honored her Savior with this. And the ripple effect goes on. I'm going to tell you a story about a missionary. His name was David Brainerd. And David Brainerd was born in 1718. He died in 1747. He was 29 years old when he died. He was born into a Christian family. Had a very good upbringing. By the age of 14, he and his 8 siblings lost both mom and dad. In his early years, David was very careful and serious in following God. However, he once said, I had a very good outside, but my heart was exceedingly sinful. He made a commitment to enter into the ministry, even though he was not a believer. When he was 19, he moved to an inherited farm and read through the Bible twice, the entire Bible twice a year. And began to see that his religion was legalistic and based upon his own efforts. He wrestled with God's sovereignty in his soul and battled deep depression. He strongly fought with the fact that there was nothing he could do in his own strength to commend himself to God. This all changed one evening before sunset when he was radically transformed by a new vision in God's glory, of God's glory. He found unspeakable joy and letting Jesus be king over his life and the whole earth. That night he determined to live wholly for God so that God's glory could be known. This is what David said before he went on the mission field. He said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me to the ends of the earth. Send me to the rough, the savage pagans of the wilderness. Send me from all that is called comfort on earth. Send me even to death itself, if it be but in thy service and to promote thy kingdom. And David went on to be a missionary to the natives along the Delaware River. Many came to know Jesus. He was a missionary for 4 short years. His total commitment gave courage to others. David's life in these natives had a ripple effect. Many came to know the Lord. There's some other names that we know, missionaries that we know, that were inspired by David's life. And that whole ripple effect was taking place. William Carey, he was one of those. Adoniram Judson was another one. And one that maybe we're a little bit more familiar with is Jim Elliot looked at David's life and received courage to go to the Aqua Indians where Jim gave his life. But that ripple effect continues. Those that went in after he was killed, many came to know the Lord. And we had the opportunity of having one of those in church, one or two of those in church here years ago. Now there's one more in here I'd like to skip, but we're not going to. Let's go down to verse 4. We had the good here. Verse 4 says, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him." And by the way, if you look at the other Gospels, it was not just Judas, but it says the disciples. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Do you think Judas really cared for the poor? Next verse says he didn't. He didn't care for the poor. Judas had envy. He had covetousness in his heart. I don't know if you remember the cup that I had up here one time that looked really nice, and then when I flipped it over, the inside was black. That was Judas. Judas looked good. He fit in. Jesus knew. He fit in. But Judas was just like David Brainerd said, "I had a very good outside, but my heart was exceedingly sinful." Judas cared about monetary things. What was in his mind is how he operated. What's in my mind today is how I function. That's how I live. Somebody give me a scripture that gives me a key to take care of that. Can you think of a verse? Okay, that's a very good verse. And there's another one I'm thinking of. Okay, very good. Then there's also Romans 12, 1 and 2. Can somebody quote that? I'm asking for help because right now it's gone. Go ahead, Dana. You got it. Okay, that's verse 2. A transformation that happens when our mind is transformed into thinking God's way. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Judas wanted what he wanted. He didn't care for the poor. He had dishonest motives. He cared only for himself. Self. It's either self or it's God. It's one or the other. So today I still have opportunity to choose. Is it going to be self? Is it going to be God? Which one have I chosen? I like to think of this journey that we're on in life, our spiritual walk. And I like to just picture it as a literal journey. Now, I have my own picture in my mind of this. I picture myself walking down a dusty trail. My journey of life. The decisions that I make the things that I allow my mind to ponder on, to think on, is the direction that I'm going to go. And as I continue to walk, it's going to take me to an eternal future, an eternal forever. That's kind of redundant, isn't it? But it's going to take me to a place where I no longer have choice. The choosing I do is now. My life, the way I'm walking today, if I continue in that, your life, the way you're walking today, if you continue in that, what is the end result? Is it well done? Or is it I never knew you? Those are sobering thoughts. And that's my prayer, is that we are walking in truth, taking time to worship, to be in God's presence, to serve, and to worship as Mary did. James 4:8-10. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And as I look at this, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you, I look at that as in a drawing nigh in repentance, because I want him to search me out. And then I get the picture that as I come to him and I draw nigh to him, and I want to get in close, that he comes at me with arms outstretched, and I see those nail prints. That's where he got them. That's the picture that I want to leave you this evening. As we draw nigh, as we come close, he's also coming close with arms outstretched, ready to take us in. God bless you for being here tonight. I just pray that some of these words might have reached into your heart, your soul, and that we would remember as we go through life that what we do, the direction we're headed right now, is going to lead us somewhere. We're an influencer, each one of us. We've all been influenced. And there's a ripple effect. God bless you. Dana.